putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
So what was the creative disaster that was preventing us from connecting with Cameron Tilbury for his usual pre-news slot? Cameron, what happened there?
I pressed the mute button on my phone.
It's not good when you're doing radio and there's total silence on the end. Even our ace, Gabriella Peralta, our girl from Gibraltar, will tell you that. You press the mute button. How are you, Gabriella?
I'm all right.
Oh, come on.
I'm good. It's my last show.
When you say last show, you know, the fact of the matter is you simply graduate from now to becoming our Gibraltarian correspondent. So,
yeah.
You know, all sorts of things will be there. Probably already. You know,
don't She'll show. Be our rock.
As we've always said, classically, you know, even though I thought she'd left last week, but no, she's back with us, and that's fantastic. And there we are, a running order all set up and lined up for you. Rachel Warren's back with us, of course. How are you, Rachel?
I'm all very well, thank you.
Brilliant. And as we've said, we have Dr. Muzna Rahman. Now, Muzna, you're interested because it's Australian mixed. Talk to us about your genealogy here.
Okay, so you have like 5 hours. I was born in Saudi Arabia,
yep.
And then we immigrated to Australia when I was very young.
Right.
Then we moved to Kuwait for a couple of years, mm-hmm. Then back to Saudi Arabia, and then I went to boarding school for a couple of years in Bahrain. So all of those countries.
Right, so lots of oil then.
Yes, and I should mention I'm a Bangladeshi citizen as well, so...
It just throws much. Jane Southall has arrived. Rachel, if you could actually open, I'll probably need a chain for a chair as well for Jane Southall, because the director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society is here. Oh, it's all very exciting. We get headphones and all sorts of things to actually work through. Jane, if you'd like to just pop yourself. Oh, Rachel, if you'd like to grab another chair, we'll get ourselves sorted out there. Jane, sit down, relax, unwind. She's holding the door as well. You see, that's why we call Jane Southall the best director the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society could ever hope to ever sort of take in any way, shape, or form. She even holds the door open. I'm sorry, Cameron, we don't have this on webcam because it's just so exciting. It really is. It's wonderful. Jane, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Good. You can settle down and relax because it is that time where, as always... Oh, there we are. Line's coming on already. We've got the Cameron Tilbury musical selection,
yes.
That's all set and ready to launch us on this fine show before, of course, you turn interviewer, Cameron, and quiz Muzna on life, the universe, and indeed find out what exciting things are happening, not only with the Lincoln Show, but also this Saturday when the Lincolnshire Show comes to town. Or should that be the show comes to Tyne? It all depends on how we're actually sort of pronouncing the situation. Probably in Bury St Edmunds it's the show comes to Tyne. In Gibraltar, who knows? But we'll find out. Meanwhile, Cameron, bluer than bluegrass, from a redhead called Jessica. Over to you, sir.
Next week is CMA Music Fest in Nashville, so we're going to have artists from all over the world in here and fans from all over the world. And if people have been watching on our Facebook page, we're doing a few Maple Star Music and Media songwriter rounds. And the reason I pressed the mute button actually was because I'm getting all beautified for CMA Music Fest.
Oh, yeah, hush your mouth, boy.
Yeah.
You're beautified and get all those whiskery things all set.
I'm at Debbie Metzger Salon in Nashville getting my hair done. Everybody say hello.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
I feel as though I'm getting in touch with my metrosexual self already. I mean, you
there
know,
you go.
Gabriella's just,
there you go.
She's wearing a very fetching Mickey Mouse outfit as well this evening.
Yeah, loving Disney. Disney, my passion.
Well, Debbie's fixing me up so I can make my appearances next week at CMA Music Fest. And the reason we picked this song is because Jessica Ridley is going to be doing one of our CMA Music Fest songwriter nights. So we're looking forward to that. This is Miss Jessica Ridley and Bluer Than Bluegrass on Siren FM.
Okay, but as ever, I can say yee-haw, and it makes no difference whatsoever. It's down to the team. It's what do they make of Bluer Than Bluegrass. Let's start with Gabriella Peralta, our girl from Gibraltar.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was really funky.
Okay, nice from that. Rachel Warren.
what I heard of it, very good, yeah.
This is because Rachel was doing sensational duty, actually just going, rushing out, getting headphones that worked and coming back, and now she's actually got, for those in the trade, is known as a pair of DT100s that you're modelling at present. They're very professional.
I did think that,
quite
fancy ones.
There we are, exactly. So Jane Southall, Director of Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, what did you make of Bluer Than Bluegrass?
Yeah, again, what I heard of it was great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Which brings us to Musna.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice. I always find country music really, like, relaxing.
You see, as I said, Musna, as you know, with respect to Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, lots of territories that MapleStar Music and Media can possibly exploit, really.
Yeah, I think that would work in Saudi Arabia, because actually one of the few forms of English music that they allow is country music, because it's very wholesome and the lyrics are always above board.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah.
None of this drive-by N-dub stuff coming through.
Oh, God, no.
No, not at all. So there you have it. It would work in Saudi Arabia, Cameron. But you never thought you'd have that as a critical lie. Yeah. It's not for nothing that Manchester City have those good friends at the sort of United Arab Emirates to actually support the whole thing. So there's a reason and a rationale for this whole side of things. Musta, you had a question for Cameron about Nashville.
Oh, do I?
The TV series.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I was just saying that I really enjoyed the TV series, and everything I know about Nashville is from the TV series. So, I mean, is it accurate at all?
I don't watch it, but everybody that I talk to that has said that it's really true to form. It has most things kind of right. Some of the stuff that does go on in the music business is a lot different than what they show, but the idea is there, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Katie Grimerson is tuning in. Hello, Katie. Shall we say hello, Katie, Jane?
Hello, Katie.
Yeah, there we are. You see, she's pretty. She might actually be joining us to take part in one of these wonderful Lincolnshire Show reporting things that, Amelia Highfield's been putting together. So
yeah, great.
Very exciting. Well, that's before we talk about The Show Comes to Town, which is this very Saturday. Cameron, would you like to find out about The Show Coming to Town? This is the Lincolnshire Show coming to the town, although technically it's a city, but what the hey, it's the town of Lincoln.
Yes.
Good. I thought you pressed the mute button again. I thought somebody was doing your highlights, and I thought you just pressed the mute for a moment. Jane, share with us what's happening on Saturday.
Well, what we thought we would do this year to try and get more people to understand the show and what we're about is take the show to town. So there's quite a few of us going. We'll be in town all day on Saturday. We've got Rand Farm Park bringing some animals. We've got Uncle Henry's selling sausages. And
that's not dodgy, I have to say. I've been to Uncle Henry's.
No,
it's not some sort of dodgy. Uncle Henry's selling his sausages. I could see where we could go there. No.
We don't do dodgy.
It wouldn't go in Saudi Arabia, that's why you say.
No, it wouldn't. We're going to be doing a survey asking people why they come to show or why they don't, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Gabriella, have you ever been to the Lincolnshire Show?
No.
It's just outrageous. And you're heading off to the Rock of Gibraltar.
Yeah, in less than a week, so...
She should fly back to the show.
So Gibraltar Lincolnshire Show.
Show
has to win.
Rachel.
I haven't been before, no, but it does look very good.
Okay, let's move on. Cameron, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Musna about life, the universe, and what it's like making her debut in this craziness that we call the Midweek Drive?
No, but if you can cut the Midweek Drive and understand everything that's going on, you're laughing.
There you are.
Everything else
is downhill. Words of advice as opposed to a question, Cameron. But I think I get what you're saying, Ruby. What do you mean on that sort of basis? It's very good. Okay, Jane, any thoughts with respect to Cameron? Because we still haven't got together really when we can have that MapleStar Music and Media, because it'll happen, I'm sure. I sense in my bones.
I'm sure Cameron promised last year he was coming to the show this year. I'm sure he did.
I think if we played back through the whole system,
that we could find it.
Yeah. Yes, we would. Samantha Sheldon, we'd like to say good afternoon to everyone on the Midweek Drive. We'd like to say good afternoon to you, Samantha. But we would anyway. Would you like to say good afternoon to Samantha?
Yeah, good afternoon.
She's listening whilst doing a mountain of ironing. Well, yeah, it works. It sounds as though you're sort of falling off the technical world there, Cameron. So I'm going to ask Rachel to put those last two questions to you in her own unique, inimitable style. What are they doing to you, Cameron? I mean, you know, do they not realise you've got media commitments? What's going on over there?
Debbie's looking after me. This is like the best salon in town, so...
Yeah,
we can multitask.
All right, okay. And what is Debbie actually doing at present, as long as it's above board and clean and we can use it?
She's just folding up the thing that makes me look like a girl. The thing they put around your neck so you don't get hair all over your
face. I think we can all recognise and identify with that particular moment of stress and harassment with respect to the whole thing.
Apparently it's a cape, but it didn't make me a superhero.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Nice cue. We've got a genuine superhero coming up in the second hour of the programme. Yes, Helen Slater is joining us. Do you remember Supergirl?
Yep.
Good, very good. I'm pleased you did, which is very good. Okay,
Helen Slater is actually Canadian. She's from Canada.
Well, there you have it, you see. Would you like us to share that Maple Star magic with Helen as well when she sort of connects us with
it? Well, it's funny. She did a movie back in the late 70s, I believe, which starred Jerry Reed. It was shot in Canada, and there was a pickup truck that was used in that. It said pickup on the side of it. And a friend of mine actually bought that pickup, and it was, you know, she'd sat in that and everything. So that's a tie-in.
We almost got some sort of sense out of that particular line. Let's hope we get a better transatlantic link in various other ways. But Rachel, the last two questions, whilst Cameron models his cape, very fetchingly, I have to say, need to be asked.
Right. Well, have you enjoyed talking to us today, Cameron?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Good. And can we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon?
I'll be back next week.
Wonderful. I was born from love, and my poor mother worked the mines. I was raised on the good book Jesus, till I read between the cradle me, mama, cradle me again.
It's 18 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock on the last Wednesday in May 2014. It's Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM. In the studio, a quartet of quintessential quality. The director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show, and indeed the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, no less, Jane Southall, is with us. We have Dr. Musna Rahman from the Department of English at the University of Lincoln. Yay!
Yay.
We've got Rachel Warren, also from the Department of English, but soon to be a graduate from the English programme, and from Bury St Edmunds. Hurrah! And Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar is with us as well, which is fantastic. So, when we received from those fabulous folk at Legendland Times a little bio which was entitled After Before, by a fantastic writer who was born to an American musician father and English mother and then grew up in Leafy, Hertfordshire, and studied social and political sciences at Cambridge University and broadcast journalism at the University of Westminster, we were intrigued when the text actually came through, and it hasn't been officially released as yet because it's published on the 1st of June. We voraciously read through the whole system. And it was fantabulous, to coin a phrase. It's a very heartrending novel. It's a very important novel. And we're delighted to actually say Gemma Wayne, author of After Before, is with us now. How are you, Gemma?
Hi, Alex. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's, well, absolute genuine delight. Now, would you like to share with us this particular text, which has the little blurb, during a cold British winter, well, you could have actually put it in the centre of May, the current weather we're actually having, three women reach crisis point. Emily, an immigrant survivor of the Rwandan genocide, is existing but not living. Vera, a newly Christian Londoner, is striving to live a moral life, her happiness constantly undermined by secrets from her past. And Lynn, battling with an untimely disease, is consumed by bitterness and resentment of what she hasn't achieved and what has been snatched from her. So talk us through your sort of background in this, because the Rwandan genocide, a huge, huge tragedy, and something which, again, occasionally just gets, it slips between the cracks, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and that was the strand that actually started me off on this track for the novel. I was at a charity event that was run by SURF, which is the Survivors Fund for Survivors of the Genocide. And on listening to one of the speakers talk, what struck me most was, of course, the horror of what actually happened. But to some extent, those were facts I knew. But it was a kind of an enduring sense of betrayal that still seemed to be consuming this survivor so many years on. it was kind of this disbelief that neighbour could have turned on neighbour, friend could have turned on friend, and even a kind of a betrayal by the international community for letting this happen. And that's kind of what got me started. I started thinking about this idea of betrayal and how it can tie one to the past, how it can be all-consuming, and how really if you're not able to confront that, then how do you ever move forward? And for me, that's what actually ties all of these three very different characters together, is they've each experienced some kind of very deep betrayal in their past, and because of that, they're stuck.
The characters, I mean, in fact, actually looking at the way the characters were portrayed, Lynn, I thought, was initially sort of, she comes across as being a bit of a sharp lady, but obviously there are reasons from that point of view. And yet, in so many ways, you draw her as the mirror image of Vera. You know, and that's really part, it seems to be part of the reason why she recognised this younger woman who's actually got the temerity to marry her son, and it's outrageous. I mean, I hesitate to suggest was that drawn from personal experience, but you know, when you were drawing that, because that was something which surprised me, because I originally thought, oh, obviously we're going to focus very much on what happened with Rwanda and the genocide with respect to that, but you kind of also draw in this other, and it's not a B story, it would be wrong to call it that, but this other narrative that runs along with it, and the way in which the lives all intertwine, quite fascinating. So again, from that point of view, was that always planned out and plotted from the start?
Yeah, for me, it's very much a tripartite story. I think the tale of Emily, who is the Rwandan survivor, hers is obviously the loudest. It's the most shocking, I think, and it kind of jumps off the page more. But the other two, for me, they're quieter, but they're just as important. And, as you say, with Lynn, Vera, the other character, Vera, is very confronting for her because she kind of represents this opportunity, which is the thing that Lynn is kind of resenting in her life. She's reached a point where her life is ending prematurely, and she is suddenly being confronted by all these demons of her past, of what she hasn't achieved, what didn't work out the way she'd imagined. And I think that those two women particularly are very much linked in terms of, well, what's probably an enduring question for most women today, which is how to balance and make choices between career and family and all the different pulls that modern women and, you know, perhaps all of us have.
Gabriella, would you like to give me a number between 10 and 310, please?
Oh, that's such a... 205.
Okay, so a totally random selection here, which we'll sort of just literally leap upon from this perspective, and hopefully just work through this little sequence. For once, Luke was speechless, so it was John who protested for them. "Mother, don't talk like that," he said. "Please." The phone rang. Letting out an overly irritated sigh, Lynn flapped a hand, feeling the need to be consistent in front of Vera, who she'd chided for such an interruption a few weeks before. But she used to love the sound of that ring. And there was a time when her phone used to buzz as often as the young ones, with dinner invitations, with gossip, Philip just saying hello, her mother checking in. "Have you been resting enough? How are the boys? Are you eating properly?" Irritating queries she missed now with a burning sadness. "It's a woman called Pippa from home care," John announced hesitantly, the receiver in his hand. "Says she needs to talk to you about sending Emily on weekends." "I've already told them," Lynn exploded again, this time not intending the excess of her reaction. She was aware that her poise was completely extinguished now, but she would not be an invalid publicly. She would not let on that she had already conceded to ask home care for more help. Taking a deep, painful breath, she glanced away from her sons towards the books that lined the room. The stories. This wasn't her story. In The Secret Garden, she'd seen herself in Mary Lennox, not Colin. In Great Expectations, she hadn't been Miss Havisham, but Pip. And in Pride and Prejudice, she'd loved Elizabeth Bennet. Bright, bold, unconventional. She was Elizabeth. "But, Mother, you're going to need more help," Luke appeased. "If not home care, then even the church can." She would not slip without a stand into oblivion. "If she doesn't want the carer more often, she doesn't want the carer more often," John declared, quickly asking Pippa if they could call her back and putting the phone down on the side table. "Mother, I have to go now." He bent down to kiss her. It was not over yet. She still felt a sense of purpose. Hopefully I did that justice, in essence, Gemma. I was just...
very much.
Well, it's just a sort of...
Thank you.
A random selection. But would you like to just talk... Because, I mean, in many ways, that selection proving there's possibly no such thing as randomness when Gabriella gives us a random page number. That kind of epitomises so much of what you've just described in terms of the characters, the stoicism, the tenacity, and also the, not fecklessness, but inability of the sons to actually cope with what's happening to their mother.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the things that, you know, some of us do have to face it in life is, you know, this kind of powerlessness. And for her son, Luke, who is the one that the other character, Vera, is marrying, that's his big struggle in the book as well. He is more of a peripheral character, but he hopefully has a journey too. And that is this sense of just not being able to do anything. He's a fixer. He's used to being able to help everyone. And here he is faced with a situation that he can't do anything about.
Indeed. Okay, Rachel, any thoughts on what you've heard, what you've read? Is it the sort of text which you think, yeah, I quite fancy having a little perusal through that one?
I think it sounds very good. I think the topic's really interesting. It sounds quite heavy, though. Like, I think, was writing it difficult? Because it sounds quite an emotional book for you.
It is definitely heavy. There's some serious themes, but I hope there's also, you know, lightness to it as well. But I kind of like delving into the dark side of things in my writing. My life is fortunately not like that.
Gemma, what the University of Westminster can do for you. I'm sorry, but that's you know, if you stayed at Cambridge, you all would have been well. But doing that broadcast journalism postgraduate, it introduces you to the dark side. Did they not tell you? Good heavens. That's my winner. Jane, thoughts from yourself?
No, again, it does sound really interesting. It's a bit like we don't want to know what happens at the end, but that'd spoil it if people won't then want to buy it, so we probably can't ask that question.
I must admit, I did sense there's another text in here, and it would be nice to obviously see what happens to Emily and Emilienne. And you did, actually, without giving any spoilers away, it did throw me that kind of... I thought, no, get out of the road! But anyway, but it's... yes, yeah. Interesting. Musna, thoughts from yourself?
I think it sounds really interesting, and I particularly like the idea of looking at an older character, because I feel as though sort of...
She's only 58.
As Gemma said, someone who's nearing the sort of the end of her life. And I think that in things like literature and movies and even on TV, once you get to that age, you become a little bit invisible. So I'm always really interested in hearing narratives about characters in that sort of age group.
And the shocking nature I refer to Emily as the lead character. I mean, maybe it's sort of co-lead, but that notion of how she is a survivor of the Rwandan genocide and the way you describe that. Just talk us through the kind of research you did to sort of unpick that, Gemma, because it wasn't just a case of, oh, well, I think this might have happened.
No, sure, and I'm very aware that, you know, this is a very real thing for a lot of people, sadly, and it's not... You know, it's not my story, so my work is very fictionalised. But at the same time, I was very fortunate that the charity where I originally came across the idea for the book, they were really helpful in facilitating my research. So their co-director at the time, Liliane Mbieyi, she was very kind to sit and talk with me for a long time and really share her insights. She was a survivor herself. She lost most of her family during the genocide, and she's done some amazing work helping other survivors since. I also had a friend who was working for the War Crimes Tribunal in Arusha, and she directed me towards various testimonies published by African Rights. So through all of these kind of things, I was able to, you know, familiarize myself as much as possible and hopefully write in an authentic way.
Gabriella?
Yeah, it did sound really good, and just... wondering, because you start out on the Jewish Chronicle, right? And just how did you get into kind of book writing? Because I know you've done some blogging for Huffington Post. Just wondering how...
Yeah.
And you've done plays as well, so how would you get into all of it, from doing the journalism side to then doing
how
kind of
the
fiction
side? How
did
you become a Renaissance woman, Gemma? I mean, this is the bottom line.
It's been a kind of bendy road. I still am doing, you know, a fair bit of freelance journalism, and I think I left university, or even before that, just knowing that I wanted to write. And I kind of felt I couldn't leave university and just declare myself a writer. So that was why I went the journalist path to begin with. And that was a really great ground for me. That, you know, taught me a lot and just got me writing all the time. But after doing that for a little while, I just found myself kind of wanting to write my own stories instead of, you know, what I was being told to write. And it was always about the fiction for me, was my biggest passion. I love the journalism, and I think I hope I'll always continue doing that. But kind of the novel, it was always a big thing for me. So to finally be here and have one that's actually hopefully going to be read, that's great.
Philip Knightley, of course, who is known to the University of Lincoln, home of Siren FM, as one of our visiting professors, in fact, defines it as cosy domestic scenes in suburban London, brilliantly described, used in contrast with experiences of absolute horror at the heart of a deep and shaming secret. And I figured from that moment on, it's always nice to have a positivity from that point of view. Gemma, we haven't even had a chance to speak about your stage production and the whole range of other bits and pieces. Jane, any other thoughts or questions you'd like to put to Gemma Wayne?
So, Gemma, what are you doing next? Have you already got the next book in your mind or not? Or
yeah, I'm kind of midway through a second novel, so hopefully that will be the next thing. And then I'm also working with the writing partner who I write for stage with. We've got another project in the works as well, so... Lots going on.
Always good, always fantastic, and I'm sure the resonance will continue. We always knew that Lucy at Legend Times can always spot a winner, so great stuff there. A little LinkedIn acknowledgement for Lucy Chamberlain. She does wonderful stuff. Gemma, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self, and welcoming you to the Midweek Drive. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on the show today?
It's been great. Thank you so much. It's lovely to chat with you.
So can we look forward to hopefully reaching you again in the very near future with respect after, obviously, after Before and other things you're involved with?
Anytime, that would be wonderful.
A round of applause for Gemma Wayne, please.
Yes.